met somebody the other night. Started thinking he was Mr. Right. Wrong. I might have never known if a friend hadn't brought it to my attention. He's got a wife, he forgot to mention. Girl, leave that fool alone. I keep hoping and telling myself somewhere there's one good one left. 'Cause my poor heart needs somebody who can take it like a man, steady and strong. Not a lot of fuss and carrying on. True to a promise I can write in stone. If you want this woman's heart, take it like a man.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A hearing set for today in the deportation case of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, a national mistakenly flown to a prison in El Salvador. Despite the Supreme Court ordering the Trump administration to facilitate his return to the U.S., President Trump and his Attorney General Pam Bondi deferring to El Salvador's president, who refuses to release him. ABC's Terry Moran has more.
In the Oval Office, the president of El Salvador made clear he's got no plans to send Abrego Garcia back to the U.S.
How can I return him to the United States? Like, I smuggle him into the United States, or what do I do? Of course, I'm not going to do it. It's like, the question is preposterous.
The Democratic leader of the House calling on the courts to use judicial powers to pressure the administration.
Indiana and Idaho among states who are announcing they'll ban food stamps from being used to buy sugary drinks and candy. The deadline to file your taxes, midnight tonight. It comes as tax officials estimate millions of Americans have yet to finalize their returns. This is ABC News. A judge has granted a temporary restraining order barring the Trump administration from moving Moshe Madawi out of the District of Vermont pending a further court order. Madawi is a second Columbia student detained by immigration officials. An attorney tells ABC News Madawi, a permanent resident of the U.S. and student, was arrested by Homeland Security agents after attending his naturalization interview, the last step in the process to become a U.S. citizen. The Trump administration says Madawi helped organize pro-Palestinian protests along with Mahmoud Khalil. Eggs have had their troubles due to bird flu, but another popular staple, Peeps, is not in short supply.
Originally, it took 27 hours to make a batch of Peeps, the familiar marshmallow Easter candy that now comes in a variety of colors. In 1950, Just Born Quality Confections came up with a way to speed up the process, and now they make them in less than 6 minutes at the same plant in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where they were first founded.
ABC's Sherry Preston. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Spring forward with real unlimited data from Straight Talk this tax season and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. So you can stream games during Mad March hours, check the weather for April showers, and watch gardening videos about May flowers. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 4/15/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires purchase of single line Golden Limited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayla. There are real concerns about how President Donald Trump's tariffs will impact Wisconsin manufacturing.
Republican Congressman Scott Fitzgerald says tariffs will make it more difficult for Wisconsin manufacturers to get raw materials.
When it comes to the supply side, I think that's an issue for manufacturing.
Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce President Dale Coinga on WISN's Upfront program.
The hope is that Donald Trump doesn't believe that tariffs are actually a national strategy to prosperity.
Trump announced last week broader tariffs against dozens of countries will stay at a 10% baseline for 90 days to allow time for negotiations. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underly calls for an increase in special education reimbursement.
Underly, reelected to a second four-year term earlier this month, also asking for expansion of mental health training available to Wisconsin schools as part of Governor Tony Evers' 2025-27 biennial budget. The current special education reimbursement rate is around 30%, and Evers has proposed increasing that to 60%. Underly says an increase would allow schools to invest more in hiring specialized staff, creating more inclusive learning environments, and provide more professional development for staff. Underly is also requesting $760,000 over the biennium to increase and improve support for existing mental health training programs. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The Wisconsin Natural Resource Foundation's Great Wisconsin Birdathon gets underway today. Donor Relations Coordinator Naomi Hadley says it's the state's largest fundraiser for bird conservation.
The teams go out kind of whenever they want, and they log how many bird species they see, and then they can collect donations and pledges from their community.
More information can be found on the Natural Resources Foundation website.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. With more and more sunshine today, winds are still whipping out of the northwest, gusting up to 30 miles per hour. But those high temperatures still tap 50. With a high pressure system settling in tomorrow, it'll be bright and beautiful with plenty of sunshine and warmer too, with highs in the upper 50s. Need a getaway or change of scenery? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, 47 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Cash machine for many dairies. We'll take a look at the data. Then let's talk the ag economy, the impact of trade disruptions, and what Congress might be able to do to prop up the industry. And it's that day, tax day 2025. Let's get everybody's favorite tax man in here to talk about some business issues.
Live, I cross my beef and promise to, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Joe Glauber from the International Food Policy Research Institute. Then it's Paul Niefer, the Farm CPA, and directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much, and welcome to AgriTalk on this Tuesday morning. It is a very nice 43 degrees. The wind is still blowing out there.
I need to check my phone.
Feels like 30 up here in northeast Iowa. But we're going to be warming up. Of course, some storms are going to come our way with that warm-up, but hey. Sun is shining. It feels pretty good out there right now. How you doing?
Yeah. We're 53 and sunny, headed for a high of only 65 today.
Yeah, but that sounds beautiful.
Well, yeah. I don't want to brag, you know?
Is that it?
65.
Yeah. I think you're in pretty good shape.
We're all right.
Man, oh, man, I am looking forward to the conversation with both of our guests here today. Well, I got to throw Karen in there, too, course, but... Joe Glauber, the former chief economist at USDA, is going to be with us. We're going to talk about the current condition of the ag economy, the impact of the trade disruption. We'll also get into some of the issues that Joe thinks Congress should take up in an effort to help support the ag industry, if any. Maybe Joe's going to say, you know what? No, you just got to let the ag economy kind of fight through this on its own.
Yeah.
So we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Okay. And then, of course, Niefer in here Always looking forward to the conversation with Nafer. All right, man, let's go ahead and get started with the news.
Sure thing. We'll start with the weather. The National Weather Service is looking for lake effect snow to impact the Great Lakes region through the day. Now, you there in South Bend, I'm thinking of Joe Stackler. I think it's going to be north of you. Don't worry about it. Gusty winds will pick up across the Midwest, Northeast, and Mid-Atlantic beginning this afternoon following a cold front. Elevated fire weather conditions will persist across the desert southwest today, with critical fire weather conditions developing Wednesday and Thursday in the southern plains.
Yeah. The local news is saying no when it comes to burning today.
Yeah, yep. From another weather source, I thought this was quite valuable. Flooding remains widespread in the lower Ohio, Tennessee, and Mississippi River basins down into the Delta. Forecasts are dry for those areas this week, though World Weather Inc. says rains will return by the weekend there and persist periodically through the end of the month, potentially prolonging planting delays.
Yeah, basically what they're saying is any rain is too much rain at this point.
Yep. Well, private exporters report sales of 110,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Portugal during the 24-25 marketing year.
Yeah, more of getting what they need before it might not be available kind of stuff happening here, I think.
Well, and I've got some crop progress report highlights. These are from USDA's crop progress and condition update as of April 13. Winter wheat, 47% good to excellent, compares to 48% last week. 8% headed, that's right on pace. Corn is 4% planted, that's 1 point behind the 5% average. Soybeans, 2% planted, in line with the average. Spring wheat, we don't know yet. Cotton, 5% planted, 8% on average there. We've got question marks in the spring wheat there, Chip.
Yeah, the corn planting, the reason that it's starting to slip behind the average pace is because of the delays in the Ohio River Valley in particular.
Yep. Well, National Economic Council Director Kevin Hassett reports the U.S. has received more than 10 substantial trade offers from foreign governments seeking new agreements with Washington. Hassett called the proposals, quote, very good, amazing offers, and pointed to accelerating momentum in global trade talks under President Trump's administration. After the announcement of a 90-day pause on reciprocal tariffs, Hassett and other administration officials say 130 countries are now actively negotiating potential trade deals or tariff arrangements with the United States. Currently, no plans for direct talks between President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping. Both sides apparently waiting for the other to make the first move, Chip.
Yeah, they, each of them might be waiting a while here.
They might. Yep. Well, four state governors have sent a letter to EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin asking him to set higher RVOs, that's renewable volume obligation levels. The governors wrote, quote, unfortunately, the RVO levels set by previous administrations failed to reflect recent industry growth. The governors asked EPA to establish a 2026 RVO of no less than 15 billion gallons for conventional ethanol and 5.25 billion gallons for biomass-based diesel. Governors from South Dakota, Iowa, Missouri, and Nebraska all signed the letter.
We had a conversation with Paul Winters from Clean Fuels Alliance America last week on AgriTalk. He spelled out why it needs to be at that 5.25 billion gallon level.
Mm-hmm. Well, roughly 10% of USDA's 100,000-strong workforce have taken advantage of President Trump's offer to resign. The buyouts are deferred resignations with paid leave through September and are said to be preludes to firings expected to hit USDA in the weeks ahead. Chip, let's leave it there for now.
All right, spring wheat plantings, just to close that circle, 7% complete as of April 13th. That is right at the five-year average pace.
Very good.
All right, let's bring in Karen Bonert, editor, Farm Journal's Milk. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Chip.
Okay, you and I have been talking about beef on dairy issues for a long time, and now there's some data that helps dairies be very strategic in their beef on dairy decisions. Tell me about it.
Well, yeah, I think that we are looking at ways that we can cut costs on farms, obviously, but we also have to examine where we can make additional money, and we know that beef on dairy is doing that. I was out in Denver last week, Chip, at the Dairy Calf and Heifer Association meeting, and one of Dairy Herd Management contributor writers spoke, Polly Paul. He goes on farms and does kind of financial audits. One thing he was saying is we often, raise more calves than we need.
Yeah.
And I know at our farm we have this conversation often. And so we have to think, kind of do the math backwards, if you will, and think about how many calves you want to hit the ground this month, if you will. And Polly Paul, the contributor, if you will, mm-hmm. his advice is we only need to be breeding 30% to sex semen, 65% chip to beef, and then buffer in 5%. On one farm that he was there, they were breeding twice as many cattle as they need. And by making that shift to increasing the beef on dairy, they added approximately $250,000 in revenue. That's real money today. And so, we got to look at where we can add money and strategically do that math to figure out how many calves we need to hit the ground this month.
Farmers, Elsevia is pleased to announce the new Hager City Grain Terminal is now open and accepting grain. Grain deliveries will be accepted Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. until 5 p.m. The new Hager City Terminal can unload your grain quickly and efficiently and ship it to markets in the Southwest and Pacific Northwest. Grain deliveries are being accepted at the Hager City Grain Terminal. Visit elsevia.com/HagerCity for more information.
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi. We talk a lot about roots, and part of our roots is offering a little something for everyone in Bluff Country. A lot of people ask me, do you have chicken feed? Yep, sure do. Do you have fertilizer for our crops? Yep, sure do. Seed for our lawn and garden? Yep, sure do. How about hay nets for our horses? Yep, we've got that too. Strong roots help communities thrive. At Bluff Country Feed and Seed, we've got the people and products to start building your roots.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, May milk up 49 to 18.13, June up 37 to 17.60, July up 24 to 18, even August up 23 at 18.33. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets continue to move mostly higher. Hogs are also following suit. Technical buying helping to support the markets. Higher boxed beef and pork cutout values. There's also some positioning ahead of that cattle on feed report that is due out Thursday. April live cattle up 52 cents to 204.47. April feeder cattle up $1.35 to 289.40. May hogs up 37 cents to 88.32. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets are mixed. There's some spread trade as the new buys are mostly lower. A little bit of planting progress is helping to pressure the markets as well. Soybeans moving mostly lower due to a drop in soybean meal today. That's helping to pressure the market. While wheat markets are lower, lower MATIF wheat prices, also positive weather for the U.S. wheat crop, all combining to have Chicago and Minneapolis wheat move lower. New crop corn up 2 to 464. New crop beans now down 3 quarters to 1027 and 3 quarters. May wheat down 5.5 to 542. Minneapolis wheat may now down 2.5 to 602 and a quarter. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnekins.
Having someone you can trust with your everything is everything. At Chippewa Valley Energy, keeping you warm, keeping you cool, keeping you safe is what they do. Since 1922, when the Eau Claire Cooperative Oil Company was founded, it was to service farmers, homeowners, and businesses with necessary energy solutions. Since then, they've grown, but still offer the same great local service that they did over 100 years ago. Become and stay one of their partners with necessary energy and reliable service for your generations, your farm, your business, your family. Chippewa Valley Energy, no more. Go to ChippewaValleyEnergy.com.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
breakfast at USDA. We got Paul Niefer next.
Time for Markets Now.
It is tax day 2025. Let's get some tips, some ideas from Paul Niefer, Farm CPA. How are you, Paul? It's good to talk to you, man.
I'm actually doing good. I think I've been preparing tax returns longer than a lot of your listeners. This is my 44th tax season. So that gives you an idea how old this guy is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I saw on your blog this morning, the first tax returns that you prepared, 1983?
Yep, 1983. And actually, my first audit, believe it or not, was on my parents' return. My mother, I get my math brain from my mom, and she had had a stroke, so I had to do the tax return for my parents when they finally retired, and we got audited. And I think the IRS auditor just felt sorry for me because we got an additional $1,000 refund. So that was okay.
That's good. That is good. So I don't even know if a lot of farmers even have to deal with April 15th when it comes to filing their taxes. What's the deal?
It's getting more and more common that farmers will file on April 15th. And then if they can't file, you have what's called an automatic extension. Now, a lot of farmers, and I was talking to somebody a while back that thought that that was an extension to both pay and file. No, it's just an extension to pay or to file your taxes. You still have to pay your taxes by April 15th. And if you don't, you're subject to both interest rates right now is at 7%. Plus for every month, including one day. So if you pay it on the first day of the month, you're going to get hit with an extra 0.5% penalty up to a maximum 25%. Now, Chip, we know that a lot of the parts of the country have had natural disasters, North Carolina, California, Texas, wherever it might be. A lot of those farmers have an automatic extension, maybe for another 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, because of the natural disaster. But for the typical farmer, make sure you pay your taxes today, file your extension, and that gives you until October 15th to file your taxes. And also, if you have a retirement plan, it allows you until October 15th to fund it. So it's not a bad deal. I've been filing extensions, I think, for 30 years now, so I wouldn't worry about the fact that you have to file an extension.
How do you know what you have to pay if you haven't filed?
Well, most of the time you've already inputted 90 or 95% of your data. You might be just waiting for a final K-1 from a partnership or a S corporation or something, but you know what the income is going to be. You just don't have all the final details. So you plug in that information. And then if you're not quite sure what it is, typically, and you file estimated tax payments, I just tell them, hey, go ahead and pay extra. And then if you have a refund, we'll just apply that toward your first estimated tax payment. Now, farmers are a little bit unique because they only have one estimated tax payment, and that's due January 15th. Or, you know, like you say, for a lot of farmers, they file by March 1st. And farmers have a unique ability to both file and pay their taxes by March 1st, and they don't have to pay any estimated tax estimated taxes. Okay. Now, we do hear there's chatter about that being eliminated when we have the new tax laws come out this year. There's a chance that March filing deadline will disappear, and it's technically not a deadline. It's just the ability to file. But we'll see what happens.
All right. It's another important deadline for farmers today. The ARC-PLC decision deadline is today, right?
That's correct. For the 2025 crop that was planted, or it was either planted for like winter wheat or being planted right now, that decision has to be done today. I'm starting to think, because believe it or not, Chip, even with all the tariff talk, prices seem to be holding up pretty good for the major crops. I'm not sure if there's going to be that big of a payment on the 2025, certainly on 24, maybe some payments, but, it's not looking very good for payments, especially for PLC in many of the major crops.
Yeah. Well, if the weather straightens out and everything looks like it's pointing to another round of record yields on on corn, it could become a bigger issue then, I would think.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and of course, we continue to have talk about, you know, with any continuing resolution or a budget gets passed, maybe they'll increase the reference prices. Yep. You know, if we get a major increase in reference prices, because they're already saying, hey, the proposal by the House increasing them 10 to 20% wasn't enough. You know, if they increase it 25%, potentially, you know, then that's a game changer. At that point, you're looking at major payments to farmers, and maybe we can get rid of some of this ad hoc stuff.
Right. Is there a lien? Is there a, you know, is ARC favored over PLC, PLC over ARC?
I think for 24 and 25, without any changes to the reference prices in most of the crops like corn and soybeans and wheat, you're leaning ARC. If it's cotton, rice, peanuts, you're definitely leaning PLC. And then some of the other crops, you just have to look at the projections for your yields, for the price, and so on. So I would say corn, soybeans, and wheat, definitely a lean toward ARC, and rice, cotton, and peanuts is definitely a lean toward PLC.
Yeah, and we continue to hear lawmakers say that they want to get away from the ad hoc payments, like that $10 billion in assistance that Joe Glauber was talking about in the last segment. If they're going to get away from it, probably it better address these reference prices at some point, huh?
Yeah, and I think if they can do it in the continuing resolution, that is, in my opinion, a smoother way of doing it. You know, we don't get any discussion on the other stuff, and if they get that in there, then it's in the baseline. You know, and once it's in the baseline, you know, it's hard to get rid of it or it's hard to reduce it. So let's get it in the baseline as fast as we can.
All right. Take us to the tax bill. We continue to hear just how important it is, but put some perspective on that for us.
Well, I think the things that farmers are going to be most interested in is President Trump is really pushing hard for 100% bonus depreciation effective January 20th of 2025, you know, when he got into office. Farmers would really like that because when they trade in farm equipment right now, they can only write off about 50% of that, but they have to report a gain on that farm equipment. Whereas with the 100% bonus depreciation, that offsets the gain. So that would be very helpful. Now, we know in certain states, you don't get bonus depreciation. Another thing that would be helpful is potentially if you farm as a C corporation, they're talking about dropping that top tax rate down to 15%. Now, if that happens, then if you farm as a partnership or an S corp, you're going to say, well, that's not fair. You know, they're going to have a 15% tax bracket. Mm-hmm. Well, I think what they're going to do in that case is they're going to increase that what's called the Section 199 Cap A deduction from the current 20%, maybe up to 30% in some situations. So I think those are certainly two things that would be beneficial to farmers. Also, for those farmers out there that have built up a fair amount of net worth in farmland and so on, both, I think, at least at a minimum, the current estate tax exemption of about $14 million to be made permanent.
Yep.
And if Senator John Thune, who is the, you know, heads the Senate Republican Party, essentially gets his way, we'll eliminate the estate tax. Now, Chip, we all know there's no such thing as a permanent elimination of the estate tax, but certainly that would be helpful for a lot of farmers out there.
Yep. No doubt about it. No doubt. Okay. I mentioned it just a second ago, but the Emergency Commodity Assistance Program, what's the status of that? I know that some of the payments have been made.
Well, more than some. You remember there was only $10 billion allocated. And as of the end of last week, they've already paid out $5.8 billion. So they're more than 50% paid out. Now, you live in Iowa. You happen to be the state that's gotten the most payments at about $607 million. Illinois is right behind at $546 million, and then Minnesota. And it was interesting. You know, Texas is expected to be the most payments, and currently they're like in fourth or fifth place. Now, over on the crop side, as expected, corn is the biggest at $2.2 billion. Soybeans is about, actually a little higher than I thought it was going to be. They're not too far behind. They're almost $1.6 billion. And then cotton and wheat are at about $500 million apiece. So You know, it's going to be interesting. Then rice and peanuts right behind and so on. And then a little bit of the minor crops. The least amount of crop that's gotten anything at all is multi-use barley at $1 million. So that's on the low side.
Remind me, is there anything the farmers need to do to be eligible for these ECAP payments?
The only thing they need to do is sign up. Typically, they would have received an application in the mail. All they have to do is sign off on that. Now, if they qualify for an extra payment, they're going to need to talk with their CPA attorney or enrolled agent, because we as a CPA have to sign off on a letter to the USDA indicating that you're more than 75% of your average gross income, not adjusted gross income, but gross income, average gross income is from farming. And in that case, you qualify for a double payment up to you have a double payment limit. Doesn't mean you get a double payment. You just have a double payment limit.
All right. All right. Well, Nefer, hey, thanks, buddy, for jumping on with us, giving us an update on those issues, and happy tax day to you.
Yeah, I'm not even playing golf tomorrow, you know, as far as I know. I still got to do work, you know, so.
Wow. Wow. Well, happy tax day to all the CPAs and the tax preparers out there. Maybe go ahead and schedule that round of golf for tomorrow. Thanks, Nefer. We'll talk to you later. Paul Nefer, Farm CPA. Go to agweb.com to check out Paul's blog there. Davis and I will be right back.
This is a paid sponsorship, not an endorsement by this program or station. Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting and rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Messaging data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
If you've thought about trying Ozempic, Wegovy, or other GLP-1 medications, you probably know that they can be expensive and hard to get access to. But not anymore. There's this great company called Zelthy. They're 100% online, and if you qualify, their prescribers can prescribe medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive. That's right, no long way to the doctor's office or pharmacy. Everything is shipped right to your door. Zelthy can also provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s, but for 80 to 90% less. This is a great time to see if you qualify for GLP-1 medications with Zelthy, and all you have to do to get started is send them a text. Just text IMPACT to 200-300. Don't wait. Text right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text the word IMPACT to 200-300. That's IMPACT to 200-300. IMPACT to 200-300.
Learn more at unitedanh.com.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.57% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here on your Tuesday morning. Chip, we've already made it to Tuesday.
Wow.
It doesn't seem like it, does it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It honestly does, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it feels enough. Like Tuesday.
Okay.
We had Tuesday kind of conversations.
We really did. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you about something. I just got something on my phone here. I won't say the restaurant, but it's a restaurant that I love. All right. Pizzeria here in Kansas City.
Okay.
New, and here's a word I don't know. Faroe Island Salmon Specials.
Faroe. They must have been left off the tariff list. Faroe Island.
Might have been, but they're offering Mediterranean salmon.
Out there finding alternative markets.
You see?
Wow.
Huh? Wow. New partners here with the people of Faroe Island. Apparently, they've got Mediterranean salmon salad or pesto salmon pasta. I don't know.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I saw last.
It's absolutely beautiful.
I was ordering pizza over the weekend, and they had a lobster pizza. And I thought, well, I mean, I was more in the mood for that, like, classic Italian. You know, give me some black olives and some Italian sausage on there and whatnot. But that's interesting.
Located about halfway between Norway and Iceland and the same distance north of Scotland.
Well, there you go. Huh. Faroe Island.
In the Norwegian Sea. Maybe where the Norwegian Sea meets up with the Labrador Sea.
Well, that could be. That could be. Which is where the retrievers come from,
which makes
right?
all the sense in the world.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know.
Here, a little something on the economy here. The farm credit, we didn't get to this in the news this morning. Farm credit system says the U.S. economy entered 2025 with key indicators in favorable positions. Expectations for first quarter growth have been reduced, however, by weaker personal consumption, higher imports, and uncertainty around changes in global trade. FCS says the U.S. farm sector enters the uncertain trade environment and spring planting season with strong balance sheets and favorable liquidity. I would say that's pretty similar to what we heard today.
Well, and the reason for that is the disaster payments that Glauber was talking about and the the economic assistance. If you take that $10 billion in economic assistance out of the out of the equation, I'm not going to take the $21 billion in disaster aid out, but you take the $10 billion in economic assistance out, and I think things, according to FCA, might look a little bit different than what they do right now.
Yep, yep. Well, and another one here, we talked about this, but it hit the news finally. USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins turning up the heat on Mexico over a growing water crisis, squeezing farmers struggling with drought in South Texas. Rollins said in a post from President Trump's account on Truth Social about Mexico stealing our farmers' water, led to a quick phone call from Mexican officials to schedule talks on the subject. Rollins spoke about the spending discussions as frustration continued to build over Mexico falling short on its water deliveries under provisions of a 1944 water treaty. I didn't even know this was a thing here, Chip. Apparently, yeah, a pretty big deal.
It is. It absolutely is. And if you'll remember when we had the conversation with Secretary Rollins, she said, as soon as I'm done with this conversation, I'm going to be jumping into a conversation with a representative from Mexico to figure out exactly how they are going to proceed forward. And that, and they are proceeding on this. And I guess not surprisingly, with the way that Mexico has been reacting to the tariff talk and border issues and everything, they seem to be very cooperative on this. Now, there's going to be many more Mexican-related headlines out there today because of some tomato issues and tomato trade. And so watch for that. Head on over to our friends at the Packer, and you can get all the information that you want on that.
Just one more quick for a lot of Rollins stuff today. Secretary Rollins announced the cancellation of the Biden era partnership.
She's doing a lot in a short period of time. So yeah, there are a lot of headlines out there. Yeah.
Yep. She's replaced the Biden era partnerships for climate smart commodities program with, unveiled a restructured initiative, Advancing Markets for Producers, or AMP, as a replacement with a sharpened focus on three farmer-first principles. 65% of funds must go directly to producers. Grant recipients must have enrolled a producer by a certain time, and at least one producer must have received payment by December 31st, 2024. While some existing projects may continue if they demonstrate producer-focused outcomes, USDA emphasized that no new funds will be allocated. All eligible expenses before April 13 will be honored, and USDA will contact individual grant recipients to assess future participation. Chip, when we talk about just sort of doing an accounting of the government and where the money is going, where it has gone, where it ought to go, right. I think this is one of those examples.
Yeah, two-thirds has to be going to producers, and the programs have to be initiated by now. By the start of 2025, and that makes a lot of sense.
Yep. So, what else you got going today, Chip?
Well,
what's on your mind? I'm out of stories here. I got nothing.
I do want to talk just a little bit more about the analysis from Joe Glauber.
Ooh,
and yeah. That got away
close.
From us.
We almost made it.
Yeah, the analysis from Glauber, I think, is makes a lot of sense in that we've got to give President Trump and the administration an opportunity to make the best resolutions possible out of the trade issues that they are dealing with right now.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. And Texas health officials confirming 20 more measles cases since Friday.